Boy, if that song didn't bring a shout to your, to the tips of your lips, there's something wrong. You need the Lord in your life. You need to confess your sin. You need to praise the Lord this morning. Thankful for that He's always, always, always been looking into my life and yours. And what a prelude to the sermon topic this morning. The teaching, the singing, all above. God does not work in coincidences. We've heard that said here this morning. You're here for a reason. You have a purpose. I mentioned that to somebody maybe at Walmart the other day. We all have a purpose. As I walked away and forgot what I'd paid for, and she's hollered, "Hey, sir!" I said, "See, that's your purpose. Take care of dummies like me." Oh, it's good to be a Christian. It's good to be a Christian. A born again, bought by the blood Christian. Trusting in the blood of Jesus Christian. Not a verbally saying, "I'm a Christian." Because that goes on all over our country, all over the world. They hide behind the name of "I'm a Christian." But it's good to be a born-again Christian, a follower of Christ. As he talked about this morning in the class, Christ willingly went to that cross. And who did he go willingly to that cross for? How about everybody say, me? Me. Me. That's the point of this morning's sermon topic, is about God's love. I read this the other day. Can't remember where, when, or what source it was from. But it said, God's love is personal. God's love is powerful. And God's love is persistent. And I've been meditating on this personal thing. We talk about a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, right? We talk about that. But do we really do it? As Debbie and I was coming down the road this morning, after thinking about these things and thinking how much, what am I missing? What am I leaving out? What am I not grasping about this personal relationship? So it made me want to think about God. See, that's a two-way thing. You realize God has a personal relationship with you. And I've come to realize He has a personal relationship with every breathing, every person that was ever born. Well, how can that be? Some of them didn't get saved, whatever. He still knew them. He knew the depths of their heart. He knew the depths of their sin. He knew them fully and completely. As we say, we will almost all admit that God knows everything that I think, I say, I hear, I see, I do. He knows it fully and completely and deeply. How more personal can that be? And He knows that about every person that ever took a breath, beginning with Adam. He knew Adam. Before they sinned, He knew. Remember, they said they didn't even know they was naked. Who told you was naked? He knew. He knew their depths. That's how personal He knows you. So let's say that again. Who did Jesus go to the cross for? Me. Me. We've got to personalize it down to me. There's us, which is a group. But you can stand and look out a window at a crowd, and what do you see? You see a whole bunch of people. God looks out on that crowd, and He sees me. Each one of you and me. That's the personal place we need to get to. We need to arrive at. We need to stand upon, and we need to cherish. Man, God, the Creator of all, the biggest, largest, most powerful in the universe, He knows me. And you ever feel like nobody knows me? You ever feel like hiding in the closet? You ever feel like, what is it, I'm going to go out and eat worms? Or what was that? How was that go? Pity on me, blah, 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 blah. Mom used to say that to us all the time. Let's all turn to John 3:16. Who's ever heard of that verse? Yeah. What a powerful verse. Yes, it's a popular verse, but it is powerful. It, in this verse alone, it covers all three phases of God's love, of personal, powerful, and persistent. If y'all would, once you find that, if you need to find it, that's all I'm going to read, is John 3:16. If y'all would, let's stand in honor of God's holy word. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Me should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's read that together. Everybody, let's read that together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see that word, world? That's me. That's me. And He loved the world before we loved Him. So He's not just saying He loves the good people. He loves the righteous people. He loves the saved people. He loves this denomination. He loves this race. He loves the world, and the world includes me. No matter where I'm from, what color I am, whether I'm saved or lost, He loved me before I even knew who He was. Are you thankful for that this morning? You can be seated. There's no greater scripture that conveys the love that God has for you. And I'm going to say me a lot, and I don't mean just me. When I say me, I mean every individual ever. From the youngest one, that little one, oh, she's done going. From Isabella right there, taking care of them babies. Yeah. From her to our eldest member here, whatever it might be. It is individualism. Individualism. Okay. We'll leave it at that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That begins with, for God so loved the world. How much did He love the world? Now, do we just say that verse without giving it any thought? Or do you realize we can't comprehend how much God so loved the world? We deserved to be hated for our sinfulness, for our sinful action. I'm going to just touch a little bit on some personal situations in the Scriptures. You'll remember the most of these, I'm sure. In Isaiah 44, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 4. Ye now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offering. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water course. Now, we know the womb is where the mother carries their child. He knew us then. How personal is that? How personal is God's response to Jacob right there? I mean, I knew you. He just didn't know you when you come and got saved. He knew you at conception. What? Yes, conception. He knew you fully and completely. He knows your whole life. How personal is that? I mean, I've known Ron, let's say Ron's always the one I go to. But I've known Ron since I was a little feller, and Rodney was dating that baton twirling majorette there, you know, back in the day. And, you know, I'm just a little dummy falling around. But I've known Ron for a long, long time. I know he has a brother, a twin brother. Don't look nothing like him. I was always amazed by that. They look about as much alike as me and the Yeti or whatever. But I still don't know the depths of Ron. That God knows the depths of Ron. Think of your spouse. You know, it don't get much more personal than a man and woman in marriage. But yet they still is not as personal as God knows me. So that's a place right there, the example of, and these are just not fairy tale stories we read here. The Bible is printed for us, for an example for us to be encouraged by and to grow by. So when I read that, I think, yeah, he knew Jacob. Jacob's that guy back in the Old Testament, was a real man of God, blah, 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 blah. But he was a person. He was one of me. Am I getting it? Are you getting it? How important it is to know how personal that God loves me. I think so much as I grow up, and memories that I have of stuff is like, how could he love me? And maybe you're all having those too. Because we were all lost and undone. We didn't love God. I remember saying, oh God, just leave me alone. But he didn't. Yeah. Yeah. He loved me with all he has. That is so overwhelming to me. I don't love me. I've grown to hate me, and it's not the person. I hate the sin. I've learned what repentance is. Those thoughts that still come into my mind that brought me pleasure, those deeds that I did that I thought were the right thing, when they pop into my head, now I've learned that I say, get away from me, Satan. You have no business here. And turn and walk away from that. I've learned not to entertain the thoughts that pop up into my head. Because they snowball. If you've ever done that, they snowball. And they'll grow and grow. Turn away from them. Ask God, and he will do it. Say, get away from me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. And turn away. As the preacher preached Sunday night, just stop it. Just stop it. We're going to read a little bit in Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 4 through 10. Again, this is Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. We've talked about that early. Ken touched on that. When we study the Word, we may not be able to, we're dropping off, we start losing our focus, but there'll be a time when Jesus will bring those back to your memory and bring them forth to your lips, and that's through the Holy Spirit. That's what he's telling Jeremiah right here. And you know who Jeremiah is? Me. One of me. I don't mean to sound like I'm comparing myself to Jeremiah, but we're all in the same boat. Okay. He said, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant." How much more personal can it be? God's relationship with Jeremiah. And that's not counting Jeremiah. God's relationship with you is as strong as it ever was going to be. Our personal relationship has room to grow. Amen. And I'm realizing that I want to get closer. Right. Do you? And we can. The opportunity is there to grow and have a more personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. One more here. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his eyes are open unto their prayers." But listen to what he says right here. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And that point I read that for is he personally knows everybody. Fully and completely to the depths of our sin. We talk about our growth, our spiritual growth. And in the last few years, I've tried to be more committed to learning the Word of God, to sound teaching and preaching, and realizing how deep my sin really is. As a young teenager or whatever it might be, when you knowed everything and your mom and dad was dumb, and you thought, well, my sin's just little things, you know, just this and that. I had no clue of the depth of my sin that Jesus went to the cross to die for. The depth of the potential. I think of the potential that is in each and every one of us to be that mass murderer, to be that drug trafficker, to be, of all things, pedophiles and all that stuff. How could you say that, Jamie? That's the depth of your sin. That's the depth of my sin. Doesn't that humble us? So, I'm right back to where, whom did Jesus willingly go to that cross and die for? Me. All together now. Me. We got to say that. We got to know that. We got to realize that. And our hope doesn't lie in me. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ. Our hope lies in the work of the cross. Our hope lies in the shed blood of the Lamb. I always think about when John the Baptist, he says, "Behold, the Lamb that take away the sin of the world." And who do we determine that the world is? Me. That's personal. That's personal. Philippians 2. We hit on this in Bible study Wednesday night. I'm going to read Philippians 2, 6 through 11. And it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now that's Jesus, and we know that Jesus was God in the flesh. Do you got that? That's not debatable. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son is Jesus in the flesh. We got to know that. He had skin, he had blood, he had hair, he had temptations, just like all of us. He never succumbed to any temptations. We got to know that. He never sinned. He lived a perfect, unblemished life that none of us could do. So this is talking about Jesus right here. Says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And if you doubt that, go read in I think 1 John. He was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That's Jesus. You got to know that. Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of the servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now here's God in the flesh, and yet he humbled himself that he was me. He humbled himself, what? That he could sit in the pew. He was one of us in the flesh. You got to remember that. So how personal is God there? He's coming amongst us. Amen. He's not ruling from up here looking down. He's sitting amongst us because he loves us so much, because he cares so personally for you and you and me. Who did Jesus die for? Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself when he didn't need to. But it was because he had a personal goal to help you to do something for me. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The most powerful, awesomest, the top of the food chain, the top of the spectrum. You know, I can't put enough dumb Jamie words to bring glory and honor to our Creator that is in heaven and is the beginning of everything. He cared enough for who? Me. He humbled himself and he come down and took on the form of us vile, sinful people to sit among us, to die for us, to save us, to be the ultimate sacrifice for us. How personal is that? I really think, I hope this puts it in perspective for y'all as it did me, that the humility, that the greatest of all humbled himself to come down here for me. Matthew 27. This really should put it in perspective. 39 through 43, verse chapter 27, 39 through 43. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Now the scenario is, he's on the cross, died for our sins, hanging where we should be, where I should have been, and they're walking by mocking him. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from that cross. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. Do you think about much why he stayed on that cross? You ever think about that? We know who he is. They used to sing a song. I remember, I think it was the Thompson Girls when we was little up on Gates Ridge. He could have sent 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. It would have been that easy. He could have just thunk it and it would have happened. And they're mocking him. And he could have done that and said, Na-na-na-na-boo-boo, I'll show you. But what kept him on that cross? Me. That's the point of this whole message here tonight. What kept him on that cross? Not just y'all, not just the crowd we see outside, but me. Let's say that again, everybody together. Me. Because do you really believe for a minute that he couldn't save himself? You know what? He didn't need saving. I did. He did all that for Jamie Burt. He did all that for everybody together now. Me. You want to get a song back there, Grandma? So I'm telling you right now, if you're here and you're born again, God has a personal relationship with you. If you're here and you're not been born again, you're lost and undone, Jesus, or God still has a personal relationship with you. Now we can, those who have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who have confessed sin, have been called by the Spirit, and have received salvation by confession, let's work on our personal relationship with Him. Okay? Because before you're saved, you don't have no relationship with God. I didn't. I run from Him. I run. Tried to sell my seat. Uh-huh. Yeah. Willing to just throw it all away. But He loved me so much. We might get into persistent here one of these days, but we'll see. Julie, you got us a song? Pray the Lord has stirred your heart this morning.